there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And here we are, Jeff. We're back. We're back in the recording space.
We are back. It's strange in here, Jay.
Yeah, it's a little different. A little warmer.
Very, very much so.
I didn't want to, we got a fan now, which is very nice, but you don't want to have the fan on during recording, which...
They fly now.
Those fans, they fly now. But yeah, also hopefully this will mean fewer having to pause because the people across the street are mowing the lawn.
Yes. I'm hopeful.
The
studio is in a much better location.
Yeah. <now. laughs> So that's all well and good. I don't know.
Back with Noble, you know, third chair on the pod.
Yeah, we got Noble. Cassie's somewhere, probably causing trouble, probably shitting on the floor. We thought she was done with that. Turns out she's not. She's still doing it.
Just on a brief hiatus.
Yeah. But yeah, it's nice to be back. It's nice to not have to worry about weirdos in the library staring at us. You know, worrying about if our room got reserved or not.
Or, you know, having to be out in 2 hours no matter what.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that 2 hour limit, that did make for some interesting podcasting.
That's true. Oh my God, we're being thrown out.
All right. Well, I don't know. Anything else? Or are you ready to deck the halls?
Well, we'll have to do a studio pick when it's fully assembled.
Yeah. I posted a couple images the other day on Instagram. But yeah, we'll have to, once everything gets done.
Of course, we're going to need to get a bat phone for in here.
Oh, yeah. Well, people will see it. People will see it when it's time.
People will know.
All right. Well, let's deck the halls. For 2022's Christmas, Bloody Christmas, released December 9th, 2022. Had a short theatrical release.
Very short, it
was,
seemed like.
Was also straight to Shudder. Literally, I think, I missed it in theaters. I had plans to, like, maybe go see it. Couldn't find anyone to see it with me, and they kind of fell through. And I was like, well, maybe I'll go see it, like, next week. And I think it was in theaters for, like, three days.
And it was gone.
So that kind of stunk. But yeah, went straight to Shudder, and came out on DVD shortly after. Well, now and I guess that's for later in the Deck the Halls. written and directed by Joe Bigos, who has a new movie coming out to theaters this year called Jimmy and Stigs, which is produced by Eli Roth.
Well, I am a Joe Bigos fan. Have you ever seen VFW?
I've not, but I've wanted to. It looks really cool.
That is a really good one. And Bliss is good.
Joe also did the opening animation work on this movie and plays Benny Barnes. We've got Riley Dandy as Tori Toombs, Sam Delick as Robbie Reynolds. Some real comic book ass names in this movie. Jonah Ray of MST3K reboot fame plays Jay. No relation.
No relation.
Dora Madison plays Lana. Jeff Daniel Phillips, famous for playing Herman in the Rob Zombie Munsters, plays Sheriff Monroe, and we will see him again at some spooktacular in Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Oh boy.
Sometime down the road.
I wonder if Rob Zombie served as dialogue consultant on this movie.
I wouldn't go down that road. I wouldn't go down the Rob Zombie 2 Halloween spooktacular road.
Too bad. We're going down.
Yeah, we get someday. Abraham Benrubi plays the Robo Santa Plus. also has a history of playing Santa Claus. Has done a lot of voice work, but I saw at least like three other credits playing Santa Claus in various things.
Yes, he seems to be a real Santa guy.
We've got returns of two of our favorites. Jeremy Gardner, who played Terry in The Leech, is Officer Smith. Mm-hmm. And our boy Father David,
yes,
Graham Skipper himself. plays Max and was and Max in Father David in The Leech, and Max in All the Creatures Were Stirring plays Mike in this movie. That fucking piece of shit Mike couldn't keep his goddamn mouth shut.
Fucking Mike.
Kansas Bowling plays Liddy, and we last saw her last spooktacular as Maggie in Third Saturday in October Part 5. Josh Ether is Larry and is an editor on some of an editor of some renown, has done a lot of editing work. Elliot Gilbert plays Officer Davies. Adam Dietrichs plays Officer Weston. Matt Mercer plays Neighbor Dad. And we will see him again as Paul in Deathcember. And we last saw him as Scott in All the Creatures Were Stirring.
Oh, yeah.
Ariel Washington plays Neighbor Mom. Tagline, you better not cry.
You better not, Jay.
I didn't. I love it. I love this movie. Fuck it. Personal experience. I love this goddamn movie.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a spicy episode.
So originally I read that the script idea came about. Joe Bigos wanted to do a remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night. Yes,
the rights holders asked him to pitch a Silent Night, Deadly Night remake to them, and they hated his idea, and so that's what became this movie.
Well, and the way I read it too was like, we didn't want a robot Santa, never mind that Silent Night Deadly Night 5 is literally a robot movie.
Well, that's what they said, that the movie sounded good to them or whatever, but not for a Silent Night Deadly Night remake, because they wanted to keep it closer to the original, because they were trying not to piss people off too bad, because they're like, nobody's going to like us remaking this, so we're going to try to remake it as faithful to the original as we can.
So instead, we're going to cast Corey Cunningham, Derek from Halloween Ends.
I'll try to maintain my... Honestly, he wasn't the problem with Halloween Ends.
He wasn't. So. No, Corey Cunningham was fine.
I'll try to reserve judgment on the Silent Night, Deadly Night remake for now, even though I'm not that hopeful.
I don't know that it'll be great, but I'm willing to give it a chance. I like that. There is a loose remake just titled Silent Night, not to be confused with the one we did late last year. I think it's pretty good. Like, I think it's kind of fun. It's very different, but it's still got, like, the Killer Santa. That's kind of the big...
We'll have to check that one out, though. Yeah. One of these Christmases. It's shot on 16mm, like his last three movies. I think it adds a little bit of quality to it. I like the film grain.
Yep. Oh, no, I saw a lot of people calling it, like, artificial grain, and I'm like, I don't think it's artificial.
No, he legitimately likes to shoot on 16mm because of that aesthetic he likes. He was a big John Carpenter fan. Well, I mean, VFW is basically, like, his take on, like, an assault on Precinct 13, yeah. And this, I'm guessing he's probably also a James Cameron fan based on what happens in the latter half of this movie.
I would assume so as well.
And up until ramming a vehicle through a police station.
I also think the I think you can also get like some John Carpenter vibes with like the soundtrack. Yes,
this heavy synthesizer use in the soundtrack was very John Carpenter.
No, a couple years ago they put the soundtrack up for sale on vinyl. I didn't even have a record player at the time, and I bought it because I'm like, it's a great soundtrack. No. It's not very Christmassy, but it's a great soundtrack.
It is a good soundtrack. I like it.
Where to watch? Like I said, it did go to theaters, but it's a Tubi original or Tubi. Shudder. It's a Shudder original.
Yeah, you might as well just get Shudder and watch it. I mean, a lot of places like YouTube now. I don't know if anybody knows about this backdoor strategy, but almost all streaming services are connected to YouTube, and YouTube will give you 7 days of basically any of them for free to try them out.
I think Prime does as well.
So you could try those out for free, and you could watch this movie if you wanted to.
DVDs are available.
Yes.
Grindhouse Video is going out of business or ceasing online distribution, online sales at the end of the year. And it has been kind of my go-to for like, okay, this movie came out by Shudder. I don't think it's going to be like a Vinegar Syndrome or like a Severin Shudder like collab. I think it's going to be its own thing. Yeah. Or, you know, this is going to be like an RLJE release. Like, I'll just go out instead of like venturing to Walmart the day it comes out. I'm just going to go on to Grindhouse and pre-order it. And that's what I've been. I'm really going to miss the opportunity to do that. I'm going to have to find a new online DVD distributor.
Shot on location in Placerville, California. He wanted to shoot on location to help the small town atmosphere seem real.
And which I think that comes through. But like, I would have rather have been the snow looks very fake.
Yeah, I just there's one big this has if anybody's a Game of Thrones show watcher out there, this movie also suffers from Game of Thrones season 8 episode 3 syndrome, where what do you people not have brightness settings on your TV? A lot of these kills are going to be very hard to see because of his choice of natural lighting with neon signs. Which, I mean, looks pretty cool, except up to the point where you need to see something
in That's detail. Fair. Well, are you ready to get into our synopsis?
Oh, I believe so.
All right. We start off with static, and then the screen switches over to Channel 83, which is the name of Joe Bigos's production company. Mm-hmm. We get an ad for Slim Jenko malt beverage that encourages very underage drinking.
Yes. Everyone can have a little.
Dad, can I have some? Sure.
It's enough for the whole family.
More static, and now an ad for Killed on Christmas, the Lester Lord story, premiering Friday at 12:05 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Static again, and an ad for Hard Rock Santa live in concert at the Civic Center.
I want to see it.
More static, and an ad for a brief ad for an edible, followed by more static, and an ad for Coon's Christmas cream pies.
Yes.
Yet again, more static, and we get an ad for Robo Santa Plus, the military robot that has been turned into a Santa to replace your degenerate mall Santa.
For some reason.
And it says it will be at GW Bonkers this weekend.
And major department stores.
Quick
note about those. Those were shot a week before the movie actually came out and were inserted, because the audience feedback was basically, why does this killer Santa exist? What is the purpose of this thing? I mean, fair feedback, I would say, that the motivation of the killer Santa isn't really clear and why he exists in the department stores and things. And so they inserted that ad at the beginning to kind of give it a little hint of backstory.
I think those ads are kind of cool, and I think it works well. It gave me kind of WNUF kind of vibes.
No, I like the ads for sure. I thought they added something to the movie, so I'm glad they put them in.
We get kind of like a neon lit Christmas snowy scene as Tori Toombs arrives at the record store that she owns, chats with customers, talks about closing up for Christmas Eve with her employee, Robbie. And we get our title card, Christmas, Bloody Christmas.
Bum, bum, bum. Should have just been called Santa Terminator.
I mean, yeah, I think there is a movie called like Infinite Santa 8000 that's like animated. It does kind of also seem like Terminator Santa.
Nice.
Tori and Robbie chat about their plans for the night, how Tori is supposed to meet up with a guy she met on Tinder who's like Emmett Eyeliner. Everybody in town knows him except her.
Yes.
And he's like a real piece of shit.
Three kid Emmett? Wait, no. Soon to be four kid Emmett?
And then later on he's like, four kid Emmett? I think it's supposed to be five now. Five kids! But Robbie shows her a bunch of stuff about him, how he's kind of a huge loser. And Tori and Robbie leave for the bar to get drunk instead.
That's one of my favorite things about this movie is these two huge losers call everybody else huge losers.
They walk down Main Street, talk about what the best Christmas songs are, and smoke. They stop at GW Bonkers, the toy store from the drop at the beginning. And they drop off some whiskey for Jay and Lana, the owners of the store. They have one quick drink and leave so Jay and Lana can fuck in the toy store.
Ah, yes, of course.
Jay also offhandedly mentions that the Robo Santa is being recalled.
Mm.
We then cut to the bar where there's a news report about the Robo Santas being recalled and reverting to their old military firmware.
Yes.
But Tori has the news turned off and they drink some more.
Yes, drinking on Christmas Eve. Thanks. Well-adjusted people.
Yeah, of course. At GW Bonkers, the Santa activates as Jay eats Lana's ass. We get a POV of the killer Santa walking to the back of the toy store, finding a fire axe, and then walking back up front and splitting Jay in half from like the head down like a log while he's doing Lana doggy style.
The first of two split in half kills.
The Robo Santa Plus then chases Lana through the store, grabs her by the hair, and smashes her head through the ice cream case at the back of the store. Seemed like a really cool kind of toy store, like a very small town kind of.
I'm guessing that part was probably influenced by it being originally a Silent Night, Deadly Night remake.
Yep.
I think it's an Iris Toys.
Oh, no, that, I had the exact same thought. I'm like, that's clearly an Iris Toys. Tori and Robbie have left the bar, and are walking past the toy store.
This is after they call the sheriff who's forced to work on Christmas Eve a loser and a sad human being for working on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, what a piece of shit. and the Santa then walks outside and kind of notices them.
Yep. Oh, I want to, somebody, a kind soul on the internet did a quick number crunch, and there are approximately 6 curse words per minute of runtime in this movie.
Hells yeah.
Interesting fun fact.
I'd say there's about six curse words per minute of this in this podcast sometimes.
Perhaps,
yes. Robbie and Tori get into Robbie's car where the passenger door doesn't open. And it struggles to start, and they head to Tori's place, and then we pan to the Robo Santa, axe in hand, walking down the street, following them.
It's me, Robo Santa.
Plus, they arrive at Tori's house, where she complains about her neighbors parking on the street and her other neighbor's light display, and tells Robbie not to wake her sister and brother-in-law. They drink and listen to music as the Robo Santa walks up the street, but stops at the neighbor's house. When it hears someone talking inside.
I know you'd never believe it, Jay, but a lot of Tori's dialogue was actually improvised.
That I would absolutely believe.
Yes.
We get this awesome shot of the Robo Santa like walking in front of the house. Yeah, the neon like Christmas light lighting.
I love the lighting when it's like in silhouette. I think it works really well.
The Robo Santa chops through the front door, throws the axe into the neighbor's back. And as he tries to get away, crawling up the stairs, the Robo Santa walks up behind him, takes the axe out from his back, and then stomps his head into the stairs.
Yes.
Real goopy, gory head stomp.
Practical head smash.
The wife comes out because she's like, "What's going on? Did you wake Frankie up?" And then sees the Robo Santa standing over her husband's like smashed head. She then runs back into the room, locking the door, which the Robo Santa promptly cuts through, and then buries the pick side of the axe into her eye.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Robbie eats Tori out, and then Tori goes to put on some music and get another drink as she hears the neighborhood kid calling for his mom from across the street. Which, man, those walls have got to be really thin.
Yeah.
She looks out the window just to see the Santa bury the axe in the kid's skull, and then the Robo Santa sees her.
Yes, that child kill originally was not in the movie, but then one of his friends volunteered his son to be chopped up by the killer Santa, and so they inserted that.
Oh man, I would have volunteered one of my kids.
All of them.
Tori wakes up her sister and brother-in-law, Liddy and Mike. While Robbie looks for a cell phone to call 911, but can't locate one.
Mike's having a real J-Log's time of it all. Oh, fine, I'll find the keys. God.
They keep telling him to be quiet, and then he walks out, he's like, "Found the keys!" Shh!
What?
The power to the house then gets cut as the Robo Santa kind of stalks around outside. Robbie goes to look out the window and see if maybe the coast is clear, only for the Robo Santa to throw the neighbor kid's body through the window and then walk inside.
Yep. Classic.
They all run for it's this great scene where they all run for the front door and the Robo Santa just plants the axe right next to all of them in the door. They all scream and try to run away. Robo Santa grabs Liddy by her hair. And then pulls her shoulder, rotating her head 180 degrees.
Nice.
Very cool kill. Tori and Robbie run to the basement, but Mike fell down, and we hear him scream as the Robo Santa approaches him.
Oh, no.
Cut to Robbie trying to get Tori into his car. They try to leave, but they back in to Benny's car, Tori's neighbor that was she was complaining about parking on the street.
Yes.
Benny comes out screaming. As Robbie's car is stuck, he calls 911 to yell at them and yells at them for like crashing into his car. But they're like yelling at him to watch out behind him.
They do the classic, "He's behind you."
And Robo Santa then appears and buries his axe into his head. Robo Santa then throws Benny's corpse through the windshield.
Nice.
And they are able to get unstuck a bit. But then Robbie reverses into a tree.
Of course, as you do.
And then Robo Santa just walks up, rips the windshield off the front of the car, grabs Robbie by the head, pulls him out. Tori yells for him to get up, but Santa buries the axe in Robbie's face. And we get this great like face smushing kill.
Yes.
Officer Davies arrives, blasts the Robo Santa multiple times with a shotgun, knocking it to the ground, and calls for backup. I think at this point, Tori doesn't know it's a robot. I think that's kind of the big...
No, nobody... Which, It's kind of weird, but yes, nobody realizes it's a robot. They think it's just a guy in a Santa suit.
Even though he's like insanely powerful.
Yes, I was going to say, which I don't know what... Well, I mean, I guess Jason and Michael Myers both do things that a normal guy wouldn't be able to do. So I guess, of course, you know, evil did get an upgrade.
Evil gets an upgrade. So we get the scene of them, like, you know, filmed from the back of the police car, filming Officer Davies and Tori in the front. You see, like, Officer Davies turns on the windshield wipers, clears the snow, and as they're chatting, you slowly see, like, the Robo Santa sit up, and then it, like, walks over to the car, steps onto the hood, and then just rips off the windshield.
Yes, and at this point, he puts another shotgun round into it, and he falls back, and then he goes up to check, and it's like, okay, you put three shotgun shells into this guy at point-blank range. He was literally standing 2 feet from him the first time he shot him. It's like, clearly, this is not working. We need to go do something else. But no, he goes up to check it. Maybe the fourth one killed him.
And the Robo Santa that grabs, like, grabs the shotgun, and I think maybe he goes to, like, pull the trigger of the shotgun, but like the Robo Santa's blocked the barrel in some way.
I think he grabs the end of the barrel, yeah, and he kind of forces it out of his hands as he's pulling the trigger.
Officer Davies
is now dead.
I mean, yes, essentially. The Robo Santa's grabbed the shotgun now, and so like Officer Davies is kind of scrambling to get away, and he's like kind of like scrambling towards the hood of the cruiser just for the Robo Santa to pick up the shotgun and blow his brains out, like, all over Tori. Yes. Who has climbed into the driver's seat at this point. Tori's able to get the puts the police car in gear, drives forward over the Robo Santa, reverses, drives backward over it. And we, as she speeds off, we get like a picture of like the damage done to the Santa, where the mouth has been ripped off. And you get this big, like, big green, like, light in the middle. Yeah. And the Robo Santa says, "Ho, ho, ho."
Yes.
Tori speeds down the road, trying to use the radio to alert backup that Davies called for about the Robo Santa. And then she sees them and blocks the road. Trying to tell them, hey, don't go down there. Like, you know, Davies is dead. Well, like, all these people are dead.
At this point, she still thinks he's a guy. So, like, the guy's still out there or whatever. Yep. And it's like, the guy? You mean the guy that got shot 4 times point blank with a shotgun?
Well, and she even knows that it's like...
She knows
the GW Bonkers robot.
Yes, but she's still saying it's a guy. It's a guy. You know, I'm like, it's a robot.
And Officer Smith, who was Officer Davies' like partner, arrests her on the spot instead. Yes. At the station, she gets interrogated by Sheriff Monroe and Officer Smith. Neither of them believe her about the killer Santa. Smith can't get a hold of anyone at the crime scene, so he and the sheriff are headed to investigate, but then they hear sirens in the distance.
Oh, no.
They look out the window and see an ambulance like speeding towards them. It's like driving way too fast and drives through a parked police cruiser and explodes, shattering a bunch of glass in the police station.
Yes, and he crashes into the front.
Sheriff Monroe and Officer Smith go out to look at the explosion and look for whoever did this. And Officer Smith is like, oh yeah, he's coming, huh? Fucking Santa Claus?
Yeah, he's not. And then he's like looking out there and he's like, oh shit, he's not slowing down.
We get this great scene where like at one point he's like, I don't know, leave something for Tori. Leave your .38. And Tori just reaches into his holster and pulls it out.
Barney Fife in him.
She watches from the shattered window. As they kind of go to investigate, we get this great scene of like Monroe like firing his shotgun like off screen, and you're kind of like, oh, what was that? And then you just see Monroe's body come flying over the ambulance, like crashing into the hood of another police car. Officer Smith comes face to face with Robo Santa and fires some rounds into him, but the Robo Santa grabs him, puts the barrel of the gun under his chin, and then pulls the trigger. And then the Robo Santa turns and looks at Tori in the station. Tori grabs a taser and a shotgun, tries calling dispatch for help, but the power gets cut, and she hides under a desk as the Robo Santa makes its way inside.
Dun dun dun.
Robo Santa starts flipping desks looking for Tori and eventually finds her, lifting her into the air, only for her to tase him, which, because it's a robot, it kind of reacts to that. She runs away, but the Robo Santa reboots. Tori gets into the ambulance and drives away, but the Santa has grabbed the back and makes its way inside. Tori sees her car and rams into it at full speed, sending the Santa flying out through the windshield. Then, like, starts to try to get back up. So Tori
tips a car.
Yeah, uses the ambulance to tip her car onto the Robo Santa.
Because that'll stop Robo Santa, even though, what, six shotgun blasts at this point haven't done anything.
I mean, to be fair, then she climbs on top of her car, opens the gas tank, rips off like a piece of her shirt, lights it on fire. Like, essentially turns her car into like a giant Molotov cocktail.
You think with all of her pop culture references, she would have seen the Terminator and would know what was going to happen.
We then get like this scene, like as she kind of like makes her way, like way away from the explosion, we see like half of the Santa costumes melted off and there's mostly just robot parts left.
What part? The robot part.
Tori lights a cigarette as the Robo endoskeleton makes its way inside of the store, following Tori inside. Tori, we get kind of like an extended scene of like Tori kind of hiding in the store. She sees like a sword from a display and is able to stab the Robo Santa in the chest, pinning it to a wall with like a hail of smoke and sparks. Tori then tries to call for help, but before she can, the Robo Santa just pulls the sword out of its chest.
Yes, of course.
Tori grabs a lighter and lights some trash on fire, which triggers the sprinklers, and the exposed circuitry continues to spark. But it does, while Tori's like standing up on her desk, it does like catch her in the ankle with the pick end of the axe. And as she tries to pull herself up, the Robo Santa axes off some of her fingers.
Yes, yes.
Tori tries to crawl away, but the Santa keeps coming. It grabs her injured leg, and she's able to like tip some cabinetry onto it. She then pulls herself up, grabbing like a pipe that had a bunch of wires running through it, sticks the wires into the Santa, causing it to spark and then explode.
Yes.
It's snowing outside as Tori kind of crawls out of the store and then lays on the ground laughing hysterically. And then the credits roll. End of movie.
Roll credits.
Roll that beautiful bean footage. So yeah, that's Christmas Bloody Christmas.
And then the soundtrack ends and you hear ba-bum, bum, ba-bum. Robo Santa 2.
Oh man, that'd be great. But this time the Robo Santa's a good guy.
No, I'm hoping that he will do another one, kind of like, because honestly this movie felt like the Terrifier 1 to Terrifier 2 pipeline, where the first one is like proof of concept and then the second one could be like all balls to the wall crazy.
I mean, I would love that. I think that'd be great. Where do you want to start off category wise, Jeff?
I don't know. Talk about some of these fucking lines with this fucking bullshit, right? Fucking beans and such.
Christmas carols, favorite quotes. I mean, I would honestly be reading the whole script. I think a lot of the dialogue's great. I know that's a divisive comment, but I think a lot of the dialogue's great.
Yeah, I mean, the dialogue is great for the first like 10 minutes or so of it, but we get 43 minutes of it before Santa goes on his murdering rampage. It wore thin to me, kind of like it was the same problem I had with Thor Ragnarok and a lot of its improvised dialogue.
You guys have been together for a year? How are you this fucking dumb, Tori?
Of course, I had four kid Emmett. You talking about four kid Emmett? And then later on, five kid Emmett?
They're having a little Christmas Eve fuckfest, Tori. Robbie, what the hell? Why, Tori? You don't want to fuck in a toy store? Robbie, no, well, maybe, I mean, Tori, sounds like you don't want to fuck in a toy store. Robbie, it's just kind of weird. Like, I feel sorry for the kid that's going to go in tomorrow and buy a teddy bear covered in fucking cum. Tori, oh God, we're going to scar him, that poor child.
I don't want to marry him, I just want his Christmas schlong.
The last one I have, because like I said, I would have, I think, the entire script. What are we watching when we get to yours? A Christmas Story? This is Robbie. Tori responds, what is your fucking obsession with A Christmas Story? Robbie, what's your issue with A Christmas Story? You're the one who brought it up earlier. Tori, everyone's obsessed with it. You want to watch a Bob Clark movie? We'll watch... Oh, wow. I wrote this wrong. We'll watch fucking Black Christmas. And, you know, Tori, fuck yeah. You're absolutely right. Watch Black Christmas. Way better than A Christmas Story.
I knew you
would
like that line. I was like, that's a Jay Logsdon line if I ever heard
one. Oh, absolutely.
Sheriff Monroe at the bar, And he's like, didn't know you two were a thing. And Tori's like, we're not. And then Robbie's like, yet. And he's like, fuck you. That was part of the banter I was able to pick out. Straight banter. 25 minutes worth about straight through. It was wearing on me. Although I did think she did make a good point about Pet Sematary 2 being a better movie than Pet Sematary 1.
I mean, when I heard that, I was like, I mean, Jeff does love Clancy Brown.
Yes. I mean, Pet Sematary 1, people basically just remember for Judd, the neighbor. That's basically the only thing anybody remembers about it, that and the creepy little kid.
Right.
But Pet Sematary 2 has so many great things in it, and the storyline is just overall better. And I mean, it has fucking Mr. Krabs going absolutely insane.
Oh, man, love Mr. Krabs.
Like at the breakfast, this is the line I always remember at the breakfast table in Pet Sematary 2, where he's like, how about I take you out back and fucking skin you alive? He pauses. Ah, I'm just fucking with you.
We're going to go on a brief detour referencing our social media. For the last episode of The Last Drive-In, they did Intruder, and then they did In a Violent Nature. I mean, In a Walk in the Woods. Yes. I mean, In a Violent Nature.
In a Snooze in the Woods.
And I had like two or three skeets about the guy with the number one motherfucker hat.
Yeah.
And one of them got a lot of traction, and it was something along the lines of, a lot of kids are asking me questions that are answered by my number one motherfucker hat. But the other one that got no traction, and I'm like, Jeff would at least appreciate this, it was his hat, Mr. Krabs. Yes. He was number one motherfucker.
How could that not get traction?
I was so
disappointed. What the fuck has happened to the internet?
I had that thought. I was like, oh, God, I gotta use that one.
Yes. I don't know how that didn't blow up. The internet makes no sense.
Right. Do you have any other quotes?
No.
All right. Do you want to move on to Christmas wrapping?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Set costumes, etc. Love the lights and lighting. We've said that multiple times already.
I really enjoyed the neon lighting. I like his natural light setup for like the outside street shots and stuff. The only thing I wasn't that big a fan of was some of the interior lighting, especially makes it really hard to see the kills.
It like in Tori's house, especially, yes. I think. But like in the house, in the neighbor's house, I think it looks great. Yes.
Well, that was, I think that benefited from having all that light from the Christmas tree shining on the main kill area. That was nice. I liked that. But yeah, some of them were just really hard to see.
The score, I mean, it's great. It's solid, very John Carpenter-y.
Solid score, yeah. Clearly inspired by John Carpenter.
I like the locations. I like the...
It had a good small town feel. Like you said, the snow didn't feel that natural. That's probably because it was in Southern California.
Yep. No, it even kind of, like, I first saw it, and I was like, oh, that just looks like someone, like, dumped a bunch of, like, soap flakes or whatever they do now. Yeah,
that's not too great, and I like, the setup of the bar and stuff, but I wish we could have explored a little bit more of the town.
That's the thing, like, I get that it's supposed to be a small town, and so, like, you know, maybe there's not very many people, but it's, like, at the same time, like, we meet like four different groups of people and they're all dead and like no one else gets involved in like these explosions and
shit. It feels very empty even for a small town.
Also, I would have liked to have seen more of the toy store. Like I'm sure they couldn't get like the licensing like in Silent Night, Deadly Night where you get to see all the cool old toys.
Yes, I was hoping for a return to the toy store. Honestly, I was hoping that would be where the final fight was. But it didn't end up being that way. It's kind of disappointing.
I think all the gore looks great. A lot of great practical effects.
Yeah. No, I like the effects except for the blood that got splashed on Tori when the cop gets shot. It looked really pink to me, and I was like, hmm.
I don't know if that's like that's because of the lighting,
or what. But yeah, it didn't look that great, and I was kind of like, wow. For a main character getting splattered in blood. And I mean, this for reference, this movie costs three times as much as Terrifier 2. And when you see the blood in that, Jay, I think you're going to be impressed.
That's what I've heard. I'm excited to get there. Do you have anything else for Christmas wrapping?
I was kind of... The Santa suit was... I was kind of like... I wish they would have got a little bit better Santa suit.
It feels kind of weird because like I really like the look.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like a couple moments where you're kind of like... they could have done maybe something a little different.
Yeah. I mean, I know why they probably didn't put that much effort into that, which is they should have, because he's Killer Santa a lot longer than he's the robot at the end. So I think they would have been wise to invest in a little bit better of a Santa suit. But I could understand why they didn't, because I'm sure that robot prop at the end cost a shitload of money.
Once half the face is melted off and stuff, yeah. It looks really cool, but I'm sure it's very expensive.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Christmas spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills? I think the kills, I mean, incredibly so.
The kills, they're with an axe, which we've said is Christmassy just because so many Killer Santas do use an axe and the whole Christmas tree getting chopped down thing. And I mean, it's Santa doing it, so there's that too.
I'd say pretty high on our, like, yeah. You know, certainly, you know, there's no,
I mean, it's
candy cane through an eye or anything like that.
But. It's no, you know, Christmas tree strangling you with its tinsel or anything right. like that, but it's serviceable on the Christmas kills. I'd say it's on the high end.
Yeah. The movie itself,
I wouldn't say it's all that Christmassy, really.
It's kind of, it feels kind of like whatever, like an anti-Christmas movie in some yeah. ways. Like it's a Christmas movie, but like the characters talk about how they kind of don't like Christmas.
They do a lot of Christmas hating, and they don't do any kind of Christmas related activity at all in the movie. And I actively try to avoid it. Like, honestly, I think it would have been a little bit better on the Christmas spirit. And if they had actually gone home and watched some kind of Christmas movie,
It's almost like if Christmas rapping the Merry Christmas, but I think I'll miss this one this year. You know that song?
Yeah.
It's almost like if that were a movie. Like, that's kind of the feel of this.
It's like
it's an anti-Christmas movie.
Yeah. I say spirit low, kills medium high.
But I will say, like, for the Christmas, like, decorations and the kind of the stuff yes. on the peripherals, I'd say this is maybe a step below, like, Black Christmas 06 and, like,
yeah.
the lighting with Christmas lights and all that, like, great stuff.
It definitely, the little brief amount of decoration we got to see, yeah, it was well done. I would have appreciated some more, like, I think really at the police station, I wish there had been more, like, decorating for Christmas. I think that would have been a good venue.
Yeah, I think there's, like, one tree, yeah, maybe. Yeah,
it's, like, one sad tree. That's it.
Broken bulb, brilliant bulb, one thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise?
If I could pick one thing to fix, honestly, I know this is going to hurt a lot of people, and it hurt me too, because I was really looking forward to Terminator Santa, but Terminator Santa kind of sucks for the majority of the movie. I would fix one major thing with this movie, and that would be Santa needs to talk. They even emphasize the fact that he has 90,000 vocabulary words or whatever in the ad for him. And I think all he says in the entire movie is ho, ho, ho.
I think you get a couple lines of dialogue, like, at the beginning.
Yeah, when he's actually functioning as a Santa, he says, yeah, Merry Christmas, come sit on my lap or whatever. But I think this movie would have been vastly improved by having him drop, like, Arnold-style one-liners, but make them Christmas-themed throughout.
Oh, that's a great shout-out. Yeah, I would have loved, like, the Santa's malfunctioning. And yes. So it's reverted to its military firmware. So, like, it doesn't realize that, like, the vocabulary or, like, the phrases.
It doesn't realize it's been changed or whatever.
And so, like, it's like, you know, strangling someone with, like, a stocking. Just like, not a thing that happens in the movie. And it's like, the stockings were hung by the chimney with care.
Exactly. Something like that would have been great, I think, and would have really added to the. Because it's like, in a movie that's supposed to be the big draw is it's a Terminator Santa killing people. Honestly, I think Terminator Santa, up until, like, the very end, is one of the lamest parts of the movie, which it saddened me greatly.
I would have maybe kept, like, a couple of the side characters alive a little longer.
Robbie died way too soon.
Robbie dies too soon. Like, I would have kept Robbie alive till maybe the end of the movie, and I would have maybe kept, like, either Monroe or Smith alive. Like, I would have had them, like, get into the ambulance. And, like, maybe, like the police officer's, like, standing towards the back when the Robo-Santa jumps on. Mm-hmm. And so the Robo-Santa, like, rips off the door. He turns around, and the Robo-Santa just, like, throws him into a car as, like, you're speeding down the street.
That would have been good.
And I would have had, like, Robbie, like, they make it into the record store, and, like, Robbie has to distract the Robo-Santa while Tori grabs the sword. I think, like, I would have done those two small things that I think it would have, like, would have made it so, like, it did feel, like, kind of like the end of the movie, or kind of just, like, okay, Tori's trying to kill it again. Yeah. Oh, it didn't work.
The four false endings wore thin. I think it would have been better if they'd done the one false ending where she crushes it under the car and it comes back. And then they have like a little bit longer fight in the bar at the end or whatever. And then she finishes it off for good.
But yeah, like if you keep one of those characters alive,
they can assist in that final fight, but die in the process.
And it makes like the false endings less like, okay, oh, she still didn't do it. Okay, yeah, she still didn't do it.
It's still alive. It's still coming, yeah. No, that definitely, it wore on me after, like, the second false ending, and he comes back again after he stops sparking. It's like, okay, I think we can wrap this up.
Brilliant bulb. Thing you want to praise.
I wanted to praise specifically while it was hard to see some of the shots because of the natural lighting, the way that they committed to naturally lighting this movie with the neon signs and the street lights and everything, I thought looked really cool, made it stand out, and kind of like in conjunction with that, the 16 millimeter actually being used for the film grain made this feel like, I mean, I'm sure what he was going for, like a grindhouse movie, like something, you know, you'd see at the drive-in at 2 a.m. mm-hmm. or whatever. I thought the lighting choice it helped Robo Santa, because when he was in his cheap Santa suit for most of the movie, he did not look that intimidating if you saw him like out in the light. But like when he's silhouetted in the neon signs, or like in the light of the Christmas tree when he's going up the stairs to kill the dad at the neighbor's house, he looks really cool.
I think I would have, another thing like along the lines of like the costume of the Robo Santa, I would have ripped off the mouthpiece earlier, sooner, with the big green like ball in the middle. I think that is the best look in the whole movie of the Robo Santa.
No, I like that idea. That would have been good.
My brilliant bulb is the dialogue. I know you're not a fan of it. Yeah. People online call it cringy, like, all the time. They'll be like, oh, I love the movie, but man, that dialogue's so cringy. That's
something. People seem to be very split on that. There's some people who love that conversational, like, hangout movie-style dialogue, and some people who don't like it.
And that's the thing. Like, to me, like, as someone who in my teens and 20s, like, hung out at a lot of punk shows, went to a lot of record stores, like, that was how I talked and how people I knew talked to each other. We would literally, like, when they're having the arguments about, like, what's the best Pet Sematary movie?
Yeah.
Or what's the best Christmas album? Like, I've had those conversations almost word for word with friends. Like,
the dialogue definitely feels authentic, but I don't know if it feels like movie dialogue. I think that's the main problem.
And I think Joe Bigos was going for more of that conversational dialogue, like you said, like a kind of a grindhousey kind of feel.
That's what he said, and one of my biggest problems with the movie, which I didn't make my broken bulb, but was that there's basically no story, and that's by design, because he's like, I wanted this to be more like me and my friends hanging out, you know, having conversations about pop culture or whatever, and then the Killer Santa shows up, and he's like, other than that, I really didn't care what the story was. And that was kind of like, I like the Killer Santa going after her specifically, but it also is like, why is he going after her specifically? I think would have been a good thing to see, or like see some early signs of him malfunctioning early on, like have him like doing his Santa thing with kids or whatever, and then have him like glitch out, you know, and do something spooky before he just goes insane and starts killing people.
Right.
I think that would have been cool to see.
Final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our Christmas horror movie on one of three categories. Is it ho 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 hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff, take us away.
I gave it a ho 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 hilarious. I think it has enough in it that I can recommend it. Now, this is a big thing. You have to make it through, if you're not a fan of the dialogue, you have to make it through about the first 45 minutes. If you make it through that, then I think you'll enjoy the rest of the movie, which, I mean, your mileage may vary on whether you think Terminator Santa is cool or not, and whether this was executed to the fullest capacity of Terminator Santa. Like I said, I don't think it really was. I think this would benefit from a sequel, kind of like how Terrifier 2 did everything better than Terrifier 1. I think he could do the same thing with this and make a really cool, like, Killer Santa this time. He's the star of the show, not just like, he feels like an afterthought in this one, and that's why I couldn't give it a higher rating. And I would recommend this probably to most horror fans, but I don't know if I would recommend it to anybody outside of that.
I kind of agree with you there. I think that's kind of a good summation. for me, this is a seasonally scary. When I first saw the trailer for this movie, I was hooked instantly. I went, that's going to be my favorite movie of the year. The only other movie that came out that year that I feel the same way about was The Leech, which also stars yes. two of the guys in this movie.
The Leech is great.
But I love everything about this. I love the premise. I love the colors and the lights, the characters, the setting. I love the Robo Santa. I think that's such a neat idea. And I think it's only ever been done once before on like a British children's show. Hmm. It was kind of like a British, like children's, like Tales from the Crypt kind of thing. And these two kids get locked in a toy store and get, I think you can watch it on Netflix. If I can figure it out, I'll mention it somewhere once I figure out what it's called.
That sounds interesting.
But it's kind of a similar premise where they kind of get locked in this toy store after dark, and like this robot Santa malfunctions and like kind of chases them around. It's really neat.
That sounds cool.
And yeah, but a very similar premise. But like those are the only two things that have ever done something kind of like this. And I think, you know, the British one has its own faults and stuff like that. But like I was instantly hooked. I went, this is for me. Like whatever this is, this kind of movie was made for me. I'm that guy in that Miyazaki comic or whatever, Uzumaki or whatever. Junji Ito, that's the name of the guy. It was made for me. I've said before, and I think I'll say it again, if this movie had come out in like the late 2000s, this would be my favorite movie. Like my favorite movie in like the late 2000s was Smokin' Aces. If this had come out in the late 2000s instead, I'd be like, oh no, my favorite movie is this weird movie called Christmas Bloody Christmas. Like,
no, honestly, I think if I hadn't seen any of his movies other than this one, I would like this more. But like, I think the character of Tori was done better as Desi in Bliss, and I think the action and kills and things were done better in VFW. But I mean, I definitely get the appeal of this movie. It's not a bad movie by any stretch, but I think it's calling for a sequel. I think we need a Christmas Bloody Christmas too.
All right, yeah, let's start that right here. Let's get that going. But yeah, like I said, I love this movie. I think this is easily like one of my top five favorite Christmas horror movies. Like I love this shit. Well, Jeff, in all of our praise, did you stop to think that maybe we're wrong? We are. I mean, according to people on the internet, we're very wrong.
We're definitely wrong.
Maybe we're getting close for Christmas.
This is an unwatchable piece of garbage, Jay.
I have a bunch.
I found a lot of them. Of course, I always have to find the ones with your two favorite phrases.
I don't think I found any of those this time. I'm going to start off with one from Reddit. It was kind of a general post about Christmas Bloody Christmas. This is from 2 years ago. It's a perfectly acceptable slasher, and I'm a sucker for Christmas horror. But as others have said, the dialogue is atrocious in this movie, and the first 30 minutes is nothing but dialogue. So it's rough to get through so many pointless fucks. It makes a Rob Zombie joint seem calm by comparison. But once the Killer Santa rampage kicks in, the movie definitely gets better. I enjoyed it for the most part, but unlike other Christmas horror movies, I don't see myself revisiting this movie again. If you want a violent Santa movie, Violent Night is just way better than this. I think the two completely different movies, Violent Night and this, they came out the same year,
yeah,
but I think they are vastly different films.
I mean, yes, in Violent Night, Santa's a good guy, and Santa's very definitely not a good guy and not a guy. And it's not even close to the same style of movie, so I don't see really get comparing those.
Like, I just thought it was, like I said, other than the year that it came out, like, yeah. I don't see the... No.
I mean, I could get you comparing this to other Christmas slasher movies, or even other slasher movies in general, but Violent Night's not a slasher movie.
Or comparing this to Terminator.
Yes, like, Terminator is heavily inspired, obviously, you could see the influence of it in this film. Alright, you ready for one of mine?
Yep.
This was a short one I found on Letterboxd. Santa, please take it back. 1 star. This movie is like getting coal in your stocking, but the coal is on fire and screaming profanities at you. If you've ever wanted to watch an hour and a half of flashing lights, bad dialogue, and a robot Santa that somehow manages to be less scary than a mall elf, congratulations. You still shouldn't watch this. Would have given it 0 stars if I could.
1 out of 10, aggressively unlikable.
That's one way to describe it.
I usually try to find something to like about bad movies. Well, I don't think this is a bad movie. There's normally something entertaining if you look hard enough. This movie, however, is pretty much free of redeeming qualities. Once again, I
don't know about that. I wasn't a fan of the first half, but I don't see how you could say there's no redeeming qualities
even,
in the second
even
half.
Even if you don't like the dialogue, everything else about this movie is beautiful to look at.
If you were really looking for something, you could find something.
It beats you over the head with an unrelenting assault of terrible, tiresome dialogue, half of which revolves around sex. The other half is all pop culture references, presumably in place of character development. You feel nothing for the characters save to hope that they get axed soon. The robot Santa has no point. It's just kind of there to slay once in a while. No, not really sure who this was made for. Well, it was once again, I just said it was made for me. I like to say something nice about every project, so I guess I could say the lighting was mildly interesting. I think mildly is a disservice to this movie. Overall, it just gave me a headache.
Even if you're not a fan of the movie, which, I mean, I can see not being a fan of this movie, but to attack it on, like, the technical aspects, other than, like, some of the things being hard to see, I don't see how you could criticize it on filmmaking.
All right, do you have another one?
Oh, I got plenty, Jake.
I think I have about seven.
This is from Amazon. More bloody than Christmas, less movie than garbage.
All right.
I went hoping for a fun, gory holiday romp. I came out feeling like I watched someone scream the F word at me for 90 minutes while dragging a robot through a fog machine. This wasn't a film. It was cinematic punishment. I want my time, my money, and my love of Christmas back, please. 1 star.
I did read somewhere that apparently Joe Bigos was interviewed about, I think, like the excessive cursing.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where he was like, yeah, I didn't want, like, I wanted the R rating. Like, he's like, so often, I think part of it being, like, so many movies, like, getting the PG-13 rating.
Yeah.
And, like, that kind of hurting horror movies. He's like, no, I wanted the R rating.
Well, speaking of that, and this is something I need to rant about, if you're going to have clothes-on sex scenes, just don't have sex scenes at all. Just stop it. If your actress doesn't want to get naked, then just cut the sex scene out or fade to black or cut away or whatever you need to do. But this weird woman laying in her underwear on the bed, quote unquote, having sex thing has got to stop.
That's the thing. But even that was like filmed really well, even if it was like very strange.
Yes, it was very awkward. But yes, you could actually see what was going on. So that was good.
Non-stop, 1 out of 10. Non-stop talking and F-word record attempt.
Attempt.
After 30 minutes, the only... There's an O-N-L-M-Y.
Of course.
Thing I was thinking, hope that killer Santa would kill the blonde bimbo that did not stop talking and talking and talking and using the F word in every sentence. 3 exclamation marks. The award for most annoying movie 2022 goes to this piece of C-movie crap.
Wow.
The dialogue between the two main characters did not stop, and 80% of the movie, the talk speed, you would think they are paid by the number of words, ellipsis. Even the bed screen was hilarious, ellipsis. Anno 2022, you do not show bed scenes where they both keep their undies on. Off course, the can film from certain angles, but here they are extremely excited, but she keeps all het lingerie on and he keeps his long trousers on, ?
I'm guessing this is not an English as a first language.
I would assume so.
But no, I agree with this point about her acting like she's having something done to her, but then clearly having her underwear in place. That was weird. Very weird.
All right. You got another one?
Oh, do I have another one? Settle in, Jay, because this is a long one. 1 star. Christmas Bloody Christmas is the kind of film that asks a question no one needed the answer to. What if the Terminator had a baby with a Hot Topic lady and then dropped it off at the North Pole? The result is a shrieking, neon-lit fever dream of clashing tones, incoherent plotting, and a robotic Santa Claus that manages to be neither scary nor amusing, just exhausting. The film begins with a synthetic soundtrack drenched in colored lights, as if hoping to distract us from the lack of atmosphere, character development, or anything resembling a story. Dialogue is barked rather than spoken, and the performances range from sleep-deprived to hallucinatory. The characters, such as they are, seem to exist purely to yell obscenities and die in increasingly boring ways.
I mean, isn't that all of us? We all exist to yell obscenities and then die.
I did not believe they were real people. I did not believe they were even fake people. I think they were probably mannequins with blood bags duct taped to their back. The central conceit, a robotic Santa going on a killing spree, is neither developed nor deployed with any cleverness. The robot moves with all the menace of a Roomba stuck on a rug. The kills meant to be the bloody payoff are numbingly repetitive and drained of impact by their lack of suspense or buildup. We simply go from loud conversation to louder murder over and over again until the audience tolerance starts to wear thin. Director Joe Bigas appears enamored with the idea of chaos for its own sake, confusing volume and vulgarity with personality. It's as if he watched Grindhouse, The Terminator, Silent Night, Deadly Night, but missed all the parts of those movies that made you care or entertained you. Instead, what we get is a scream into the void accompanied by Christmas lights. I've seen some bad holiday horror films. I've enjoyed some. This, however, is a cinematic migraine dressed up in wrapping paper and broken glass. I award it 0 stars and a lump of coal soaked in battery acid.
Rough.
Oof.
Ooh. Save yourself 90 minutes, 1 out of 10 stars. If you be horror films, if you like Christmas horror films, if you like smart, sharp dialogue, don't watch this. The movie was a huge disappointment. It tried to be a B-horror film, but instead of cheesy one-liners that are stupid but fun, it was endless bickering for two unlikable idiots. It also tries to be like a Tarantino or Kevin Smith film, but nothing they say is profound or even remotely interesting. They are just yelling at each other. They try too hard to make the female, this tough-as-nails, foul-mouthed, badass, independent woman, but she is anything but. Her performance and dialogue are overdone, and do not ring true. The villain was plain, nothing cool or unique about him, no charm, the kills are weak, which I disagree with. I think the kills are great. Not sure how I suffered through this movie, mostly just because I go down with the ship, finish it to the end, no matter how awful. I mean, we've been there. American Scream, am I right? I'm trying to save anyone reading this from making the same mistake I did. Literally nothing redeeming about this movie, which once again, even if you hate the dialogue, the kills look great and the lighting is amazing and the soundtrack's solid.
Yeah.
Like there's plenty to be like, no, there's stuff to like in this movie.
I mean, I hated the dialogue and I still like the movie well enough. Yeah. It's got redeeming qualities. All right, Jay. Christmas, bloody Christmas, ruined my night, my brain, and my love of robots. What the actual hell did I just watch? No, seriously. I went into Christmas, bloody Christmas thinking, hey, killer robot Santa, metal music, neon lights, sounds like it could be dumb fun. But friends, what I got was a nightmare made of synths, shouting, and characters so annoying they made me root for the death of Christmas itself. Let's talk about the characters. You know how in horror movies you're supposed to root for the final girl? Yeah, no. I wanted them all to die. I was begging for Robot Santa to end it all. These people don't talk, they scream, and not in a cool, funny way, more like, I'm trapped at a party where everyone's drunk and quoting Tarantino, but none of them have any talent or actually remember the lines. Robot Santa, let's get into that. This thing looked like a Party City animatronic possessed by the spirit of a 2001 CD-ROM. It lumbers around like it's walking through molasses and still somehow manages to be everywhere. It's not scary, it's not funny, it's just there. And every time he killed someone, I felt less alive in real life. The kills, you want gore? Sure, there's blood, but it's blood with no soul. It's like watching someone dump red paint on mannequins while a strobe light gives you a migraine. There's no suspense, no creativity, just loud music, flashing lights, and enough F-bombs to make a sailor blush. This isn't edgy, it's trying to be edgy while falling down the stairs holding a chainsaw made of cringe. And you don't even get me started on the runtime. 90 minutes felt like a season of Survivor. I kept thinking, surely it's over now. But no, more screaming, more synth, more Santa stomping around like a drunk Roomba. Final verdict, 0 stars. Do not watch this movie. Do not even look at the poster. Burn it. Cleanse your soul. Hug your family. Celebrate Christmas. And if you see a robot Santa in a store window, just kill yourself and save yourself a 90-minute chase.
Harsh.
All right, I've eliminated a couple. I've got two left. This one I thought was too good because this is one of our favorite things on IMDb reviews. 1 out of 10 stars. An F-word machine gun movie. I'll be short. This movie is below a kindergarten selfie movie.
Ah.
The lead actress is an F-word machine gun, of which I had hoped this robot Santa would have axed her within the first 3 minutes. After about 15 minutes, I stopped and hit the fast-forward button, hoping it would improve later in the movie, but it only got worse. There is absolutely nothing, but really nothing, good about this movie. Avoid it, and don't be fooled by the high ratings. And then this is where our favorite thing comes into play, Jeff. I tried to upload the above review, but it was too short. So I can add that I think the kindergarten thing was only made to haul money in floating on a Christmas movie genre, in which Violent Night, which is a much better and which is a much, much better movie than this garbage movie, belongs, was made with absolute and total disregard to what any audience would think about this,
okay,
as it was, in my opinion, filmed while the actors were having fun while experiencing a drug trip, uttering a waterfall of meaningless words with the F word in between every uttered word.
Honestly, I think the problem here is a lot of what I laid out. Like, this is a movie that caters to horror fans and punk culture fans, and general audiences aren't going to like it. Violent Night was made for a general audience, so it's got more to appeal to regular people.
I'm just confused by the kindergarten thing was only made to what kindergarten? You're the one that mentioned kindergarten.
Apparently they're calling the movie a kindergarten thing is the only thing I can think of.
Like, what the fuck?
I don't know.
When I was like, I probably won't include this one, that I'm reading that last paragraph and I'm like, I don't know what this kindergarten thing you're talking about is.
This one was on Reddit on r/movies, Jay, so you know it's official.
Oh boy.
Christmas Bloody Christmas is the worst thing I've seen all year, and I watched Morbius on a dare.
Oh, come on.
It's Morbin time.
It's Morbin time.
Okay, I need to vent. I just watched Christmas Bloody Christmas because a friend told me it's like Terminator meets Silent Night, Deadly Night. And I like dumb holiday horror as much as the next unhinged person. I thought, cool, robot Santa goes slashing up the suburbs? Let's go. What did I get? A glitchy 90-minute migraine with characters so unbearable I wanted to mute them 5 minutes in. I'm not kidding. These people yell every single line like they're trying to win a swearing contest in a metal bar during an earthquake. The robot Santa looks like a knockoff Rock'em Sock'em toy that got possessed by a dying Furby. I've seen scarier animatronics at Chuck E. Cheese, and somehow it moves slower than my grandma's Windows XP startup. But don't worry, it teleports whenever it's convenient for the plot, or lack thereof. The kills are boring, which is a sin in a movie like this. There's gore, sure, but it's lazy, repetitive, and filmed in the cinematic equivalent of a rave held inside a malfunctioning microwave. And the dialogue, my God. Imagine if Clerks was written by someone who just discovered cocaine and owns three-letter jackets. It's like every character is doing a bad impression of Quentin Tarantino's worst dialogue habits. And they never stop talking. Ever. Even mid-murder. I didn't know it was possible to be bored and stressed at the same time, but here we are. Verdict, -5/10. It's like watching a Christmas tree catch fire in slow motion while someone screams Slayer lyrics in your ear. Do not watch this garbage.
Man, that the way they described that was kind of fun. What, Christmas tree catch on fire while someone screams Slayer lyrics in your ear? That sounds great.
All right, what's your last one, Jay?
All right. Don't do it to yourself.
Oh.
Utter trash. So many plot holes and continuity issues, I won't even begin to dissect it all. Because, of course, they don't want to mention. They just want to say there's continuity issues and plot holes, you know, because that's what fucking...
I mean, this movie has so little plot, I don't know how you could say there is a plot hole.
Right.
It's Robot Santa shows up and kills people.
The most bare bones of a basic trashy movie plot... Almost none at all, in fact. Watched it only because I have family in and have spent a lot of time where it was filmed in Placerville, California. But I knew before going in it was going to be a miracle if it was worth the hour and a half in any way whatsoever. And it was not. I'm not against a bad film if it's original or if it's funny or has a standout performance by an actor. But this failed to deliver on any of the redeeming qualities that I might look for in a good B-movie. I felt bad for Santa, aka the big jock from Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Seems his career is bottoming out. But a paycheck's a paycheck, I suppose. The gore is subpar, the effects are complete trash, atmosphere is migraine-inducing, and the entire experience was a good waste of time. I mean, you just said it was a good waste of time. Like, I'd rather that than a bad waste of time. Watching paint dry, which would have been more enjoyable. Merry Christmas.
There you go.
So...
All right,
well, and we're idiots apparently.
I pulled this Letterboxd review. It was half a star, so that intrigued me. It wasn't a zero star.
Ooh.
It has a name in it, and we'll find out soon. Letterboxd. I hate this Santa. I hate his boots, and I hate his stupid robot face. Half a star. But this is a guy I usually like his reviews to. Eggnog Coma. He does a lot of Christmas reviews.
That's a great name.
Imagine you're a child. You're excited for Christmas. You go downstairs, and under the tree is a wrapped box. You open it. It's a VHS copy of Christmas Bloody Christmas.
I'd be ecstatic.
You age 15 years and 10 seconds, and Santa dies in your heart. This movie is like getting trapped in a Spencer's Gift with a guy named Jay who keeps yelling about synthwave and how, dude, this is art.
Oh, shit, this guy's got me pegged.
Everyone in the movie talks like they've never heard a sentence spoken by an actual human.
Except not a Spencer's Gifts, it'd be a Spirit Halloween.
The romantic chemistry is what I imagine happens when two Hot Topic mannequins accidentally fall off their display stands onto each other. Robot Santa. Looks like a deep-fried toaster oven, moves like he's stuck in molasses, makes sounds like someone punching a calculator, somehow gets shot, burned, hit with a car, and just keeps coming back, powered by sheer mediocrity. Fun holiday horror? Nope. This is the nightmare before coherence. Would I recommend it? Only to people I hate. Would I watch it again? Only if I'm trapped in a snowstorm with no other entertainment and a concussion. I want Christmas back. I want my time back. I want my eardrums back. And of course, I had to pull one final review from Amazon. Brenda A. Verified purchase.
Oh, all right, Brenda.
This movie owe me money. 1 out of 5 stars. I don't even know where to begin. I bought this because my nephew said it was metal and crazy, so we're dealing with an aunt here. Well, it was crazy. Crazy that anyone would write, fund, shoot, or edit this filth. This is not horror. This is an assault on the concept of Christmas. Santa is a robot? Fine. But does the robot have to look like a drunk fridge? And why does everyone in the movie talk like they just got rejected from a reality show called Angry and Loud? The story, and I use that term loosely, is just people yelling the F word at each other until a robot shows up to kill them. There's no suspense. It's like watching someone bang pots together under red lights for 90 minutes. I tried to return this, but Amazon wouldn't let me. I saged my house to exorcise the evil spirit of this film. 0 out of 10, would rather watch a Yule log burn in real time. And that's where we could finish this.
Oh, boy. Well, all those people are idiots and wrong.
Yes, I had to pull that Eggnog Coma review just because of the Spencer's Gift Jay line.
That was pretty good. Dude's got me pegged.
This is art.
What if that's someone who listens or like listens to this podcast?
That would be amazing.
Wrote that review because I've thinking mentioned how you. Much I like this movie.
That would be hilarious.
I doubt it, but that'd be really funny. Jeff, let's take Robo Santa Plus and put it on our naughty list.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
I think it's got to be pretty high up there.
I mean, he's got to be up there with like the top tier slashers.
Like I would honestly like maybe have this be the separation between like our human killers and our
like supernatural killers. Yeah, I'd say he's probably right on that borderline.
Like this is a military grade weapon. Like I know a lot of people like talked about like the weird movements of the robot Santa and mm-hmm. stuff, but like also have you seen how the Honda robot moves?
Yeah, like the Boston Dynamics dogs.
Yeah. Like they kind of move like this, like.
But yeah, I would say he's definitely outclassing any of our human killers. Besides, maybe, I don't know, I'm pretty sure old Nick Conway could probably take him down.
He might be able to. If anyone could do it would be Nick Conway.
He would be. He's like a peak human special forces guy, so he's the only one who even has a chance. But other than that, I would say, yeah, he pretty much outclasses all the non-supernatural killers.
Yeah. So yeah, that, yeah, I think we're in agreement there. Well, Jeff, just because we're back in the studio doesn't mean we're done with this.
Garbage day!
Huh?
No!
Oh, no. Oh, God, he's reaching for the Joe Bob cooler. It's been absent for 2 months. God, he's opening it. Oh, no. There's so many things in there. Birthday cake, Oreos. At least they're golden. Oh, God. And he's got Cinnamon Toast Crunch Kisses.
And last but not least, the Costco exclusive cotton candy Kit Kats.
Washing it down with a cotton candy Kit Kat. Oh, my God. Your diabetes brought to you by J. Lux. There we go. All right.
Oh my God. The Cinnamon Toast Crunch Hershey's Kisses smell amazing.
So are the Oreos. All right, here we go. Got to get a couple of these things. Try them out. All right. The Kiss wrappers have that Cinnamon Toast Crunch design, so yep. That's cool.
Oh, man, yeah, the birthday cake Oreos smell great.
You definitely smell the cinnamon coming off these. Get a few of these unwrapped. Well... I thought Jay might have been alluding to the fact that he had some new terrible alcohol for me to drink since we were back in the studio.
Maybe someday.
He's like, look what I found on the clearance rack at Hy-Vee.
My wife and I were there the other day, and I pointed to the spot where I pulled the...
Oh, God.
That Cinnamon Toast Crunch Hershey's Kiss is amazing. That's really, really good.
Cassie wants one.
It's got the white and cinnamon swirl on it. And it's got, I think it's got maybe some CTC mixed into the, because like it's got like a, it's got a crunch to it. Yeah. It's got the crunch of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's really good. I'm impressed.
You win this one, Hershey's.
I don't say that lightly either, because I'm usually not that big of a Kiss fan.
Yeah. Except when Kiss saves Santa.
Yeah. Hurry, boys. The eggs are hatching.
Oh, sweet. Kiss Save Santa. Everyone knows pterodactyls hate rock music.
Mm-hmm. Well-known fact. These do taste kind of like cake.
Yeah, the birthday cake Oreos aren't too bad.
Yeah. Again, something that tastes like what it's advertised as.
The people at Oreo are insane that they can keep doing this.
They can't keep getting away with this.
But somehow they do. Somehow they keep getting away with it. All right, well, last thing here. Some cotton candy Kit Kat.
This is what I'm most skeptical of, I gotta say.
So you have to buy, like, a giant mixed bag of, like, cotton, of regular Kit Kats, white chocolate Kit Kats, and then these.
Ah, okay.
So, like, I couldn't even buy, so I had to buy, like, 80 Kit Kats to get these.
Nice.
And I'm like, and all I want are two of them. They're blue Kit Kats, cotton candy colored.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I like it, but I do think it... Tastes like cotton candy?
Does taste like blue cotton candy, but yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Also, the fact that cotton candy is normally soft and fluffy.
And melts.
And the fact that this is a hard, crunchy Kit Kat, like, is a weird kind of dynamic. Like, I'm all for cotton candy flavored sodas, but I don't know about a cotton candy Kit Kat.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
And it does what it says. I just don't like it. I don't have to like it.
I think it's definitely the worst one we've had out of these three.
I think I would go CTC Kisses at the top, then the Oreos, then the cotton candy Kit Kat.
We are in agreement.
All right. Well, excellent. Let's shake on it.
Excellent.
Yes. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, be a part of our Garbage Day segment. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Talk to us on social media. Go back and like that skeet I made about he was number one motherfucker.
Do it.
We are at all the places on social media. We are at Horror4Holidays. That's Horror, the number 4 Holidays. Horror4Holidays.
YouTube.com/Horror4Holidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments. We love reading your YouTube comments. It's one of the easiest ways to get in touch with us if you don't want to email. And go visit Jay Logsdon at Spencer's Gifts when he's yelling about things being art and metal.
Spirit Halloween, but yes. When it opens eventually, Jesus.
God, take forever.
Takes forever. Ugh. Leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice. 5 stars. Especially, you know, yeah. Oh, these fucking idiots liked Christmas Bloody Christmas. That movie sucks. 5 stars.
And we'll know if you've actually listened to an episode of the show, because from now on, if you're going to leave us a 5-star, 1-star review, the title of your review needs to be 0 stars if I could.
Oh, yes. Yeah, please do that.
Yes.
Give it 5 stars and put, I'd give this 0 stars if I could.
If I could. But since that does not exist, you'll have to give us 5 stars.
Yeah, you got to go all the way back around and give
it 5. That's the closest thing to that.
We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Yes.
All sorts of great other podcasts out there. Better than our podcast. Go listen to those instead. But don't. Listen to ours. Ours is the most important.
Listen to ours. Ours is the best. Okay, we reference these other podcasts on this network out of charity. In our magnanimity, we sit at the top of the mountain. We throw crumbs down to the peasants on the Christmas Podcast Network.
We actually hope to have a Christmas Podcast Network crossover. Now that we're back in studio, maybe next month, maybe later this month. I guess, well, not really later this month. Yeah, next month or the month after.
Yeah.
Where we're going to have, there's a podcast that is all about A Christmas Carol.
Mm.
And there's a little movie that came out late last year called The Naughty List of Mr. Scrooge. And we might have to give that the old Christmas Podcast Network treatment.
I think we should probably reach out to Jerry D and see if he wants to do another crossover, too.
Yeah, we'll have to do that at some
totally
point.
Rad Christmas.
Our buddy Jerome, Anna in the Apocalypse episode, Holiday Spirits Volume 4 is currently funding on Kickstarter. It is a Christmas in July special. The cover art looks great. Hop on that. Help get that made.
Any of its projects definitely worth funding.
But especially the Christmas ones.
Yes.
Other than that, I don't know.
Matt Dupay's new book, Critters.
Oh yeah, the Critters. We're here for the Crakes.
Yep. I'm sure it's great. Haven't got my signed advanced copy. I don't know how that was possibly overlooked.
Well, we'll bring it up when we hopefully see Matt in Minnesota in August.
Hopefully.
One Mr. Michael Lombardo, the Riz King himself.
That's the Riz King of PA.
Is working on filming Dead Format. So.
It's successful first shooting weekend. Those behind-the-scenes photos and stuff he posted to Facebook look pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very excited to see where this all goes. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I told him, I hope it's a masterpiece like the last one. No pressure.
Yeah, yeah. Anything less and we'll be sorely disappointed, Mike. Tisk, tisk, tisk.
You chose poorly.
Well, other than that, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.